Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I'll turn the meeting over to your host, Mr. Wilson Koh. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. All right, everyone. Thank you again for joining today's REMAT Stakeholder Forum. The purpose for today's webinar is to share with the market feedback that we received from various stakeholders on the REMAT price adjustment mechanism. So that's what we'll be going over in today's webinar here. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes to introduce some of the presenters on the call today, so that would be including myself, Wilson Koh, I'm one of the contract managers for Edison's REMAT program. And on the line, I believe we have Brian or Andrea?
Yes, Andrea Torres and Brian Manley with Competitive Solicitations at PG&E.
All right, very good. I believe that covers it there. So let's go ahead and we'll move on to page two here. So just a reminder for everyone, so this is listen-only mode, and everyone's kind of muted. So if you have any comments or feedback, to please submit those comments via email to one of the IOUs, REMAT and FIT email, or you can use a WebEx chat function and just send an email directly to the host, which is Marcy Palmstrom here. So the two items that we wanted to cover first for legal disclaimer, it's going to be the antitrust guidelines and the document conflicts. So for the antitrust guidelines, let me just read it verbatim here. So all participants in today's meeting shall comply with antitrust guidelines. These guidelines direct meeting participants to avoid discussion of topics or behaviors that would result in anti-competitive behavior, including restraints of trade and conspiracy to create unfair or deceptive business practices or discrimination, allocation of production, imposition of boycotts, and exclusive dealing arrangements. With respect to the document conflicts, if there's any inconsistencies with this presentation and the REMAT tariff or PPA, the terms in the PPA and the tariff will govern. So for the next couple of slides, I wanted to talk very quickly and provide a quick refresher on the pricing mechanism, how it works, and then I'll provide a high-level summary of where we are today for each IOU's pricing and allocation as well. So the first item I wanted to point out is for the price adjustment mechanism to work, there has to be a minimum of five projects from five different unaffiliated applicants. So once you meet this minimum threshold, then that's when the price could start adjusting upward or downward, or might even stay flat there. So the starting price for all three product types is $89.23 a megawatt hour. This was established in the decision 1205035. So if anyone wanted to kind of dig into that a little more, you could refer to that as reference. So in the slide here, we kind of talk about there's different scenarios for increases, decreases, and some other series of adjustments. I'm not going to go into detail on all three, so I'm just going to focus on scenario B here, which is more representative of kind of what we are experiencing in the market right now. So as an example, so starting price in program period one, we have $89.23 was for a particular bucket. In that scenario, there wasn't enough subscriptions. So not enough megawatts accepted the current price. So you see that the price jumped up by $4 to $93. And then in program period two, when we launched at $93, there was a subscription of more than 100% that accepted that price. So you see the price dropping down by $4 there, back down to $89. And then in program period three, there was enough subscription greater than 20%, but still less than 100. So that's where the price stayed flat and then remained at 89 for program period four. So that's just a very high-level summary of what the price adjustment mechanism and how it works. So moving on to page four here, this is the IOU pricing. So this provides a breakdown of where each IOU's prices are to date. Again, this is just for the as available peaking buckets, so you can see San Diego is relatively flat. For SCE and PG&E, we experienced some downwards and upward movement in prices. For those that are interested in the non-peaking and baseload buckets, the price has remained flat at $89.23. There has been no change in those pools there. So page 5, here we provide just a quick high-level summary of our procurement activity to date up until program period 5, which we closed in mid-July. So here it kind of breaks down what our initial allocation was, how much procurement we've done, and what our remaining allocation is today. If you want to see more up-to-date information, you can refer to each IOU's Axion website. There should be updated allocations there after the program period 6. So again, just want to remind everybody, if you have any comments or feedback, to just use the WebEx chat function and send an email to the host, or you could use send an email to each of the IOUs, the FIT email address here. I'm just going to pause here for a couple minutes, see if there's any comments or feedback so far before we actually dive into the results, survey results.
Hi, Wilson. This is Leland Johnson from San Diego Gas and Electric. I just wanted to announce that we're also here with Tina Chief and Keith Durant. So if you have any questions, please direct it to our SDG&E inbox as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Leland. All right, guys, we're back. So we had a couple questions. So let's just quick it over. To the extent that we could answer the majority of the questions, we will. And the ones that we can't, we'll try to follow up individually or send out an FAQ and post it on the website so that everyone could read through those as well. So there were a couple general ones. One that was, how many PPAs have been executed in projects under construction at the time from REMAT? So we normally published a 10-day reporting table after the close of a REMAT program period, which kind of highlights the PPAs that we've executed and where they're at, and when they're expected to come online. So that information is available on each IU's REMAT website. So you just go on the website and click on the table there. I think a lot of folks have been asking if the presentation can be made available after the call. So we'll work with the IUs to post this presentation up so everyone could follow it, along with the recording as well. All right, and there's also another follow-up question on the number of applicants that we have received. So we follow the disclosure information that we have on the REMAP website. So most of the information is available. So what you see on the website is the information that we're going to be providing with everybody. All right, let's go and let's move on to the survey results here. So again, before I actually dive into the survey results, I wanted to let everybody know that the purpose for today's presentation is to provide feedback that we received and also to gather information to help us improve the program. So just please keep that in mind as we go through the slides and when we ask for comments and feedback, that that's the intent of the presentation here. So we're not going to actually be diving into any proposed changes to the tariff at this time. All right, so let's move on to page 8 here, the survey participants. So the 3IU sent out surveys to our distribution list, and across 3IUs, we received a total of 34 responses. The pools of technologies that we received ranged from biomass to wind, but the majority was represented by solar PV here. The first question that we had, is the REMAT tariff overall clear and easy to follow? So 14 had responded yes, 12 had responded no, and the remaining either had not read it or had no opinion. So wanted to kind of just touch on some of the comments that we had here. So the available webinar presentation provided a needed overview of the REMAT tariff. I think that's good. We'll probably do more webinars as we see fit to provide any clarity for the program as we move along. Yes, however, required some in-depth review and additional practical experience with it to more fully comprehend the logistics of the tariff. I agree with that as well. I think you don't really fully understand it until you actually read through it and experience it. So, just wanted to mention, for those that had said no, wanted to ask you guys to provide some additional comments or feedback around what really wasn't clear. Was it the format? Was it the language? And what would you guys suggest as possible of improvements here? Go on and move on to question 2. So the price adjustment mechanisms rules as outlined in the tariff clear and easy to follow. The half of you guys had responded yes, and the remaining half of you said no or had not read it. I think that's some good results here that at least 50% understood the program here, which is good. The comments, let's kind of go through that. The price downward mechanism is understandable, but the price upward mechanism is not very understandable and doesn't work. Prices are responsive downward, but they're sticky upward. So hopefully the previous slide when we kind of walked through the price adjustment mechanism, how it worked, helped clarify this a little bit, that the upward movement and downward movement applies same amount. The increments are exactly the same there. Let's see. It says clear, but not so easy to follow since very little information is released. Just wanted to kind of ask on that, like, what information are you guys really looking for to help you guys understand the price adjustment mechanism more? That would kind of provide us with some guidance here.
Hi, Wilson. This is Andrea from PG&E.
Yep.
I just wanted to respond to the comment or the question for clarification on slide 10.
Okay.
So you can go back to that slide. So we did, PG&E received comments for clarification on the tariff language on affiliates for allowing a price adjustment. In the event that a developer has a minority interest in multiple applicant entities through LLCs, and so this is a question we'd received before, and so I thought this was an opportunity to respond. So the REMAT program was established by the CPUC to implement both the letter and the spirit of SB 1120 or SB 32, and notably the CPUC decisions implemented a contract price that could adjust up or down based on specific measures of competitiveness, as Wilson pointed out. So, the tariff does require that five projects from five different applicants, including applicants' affiliates, be in the queue to allow for a price adjustment. This is a market depth requirement that was established to ensure a sufficient number of competitive offers that are provided by different and unaffiliated applicants. So, interpreting both the letter and the spirit of the tariff's measures of competitiveness, it's PG&E's position that any ownership interest, whether it be direct or through an intermediary such as an LLC, would constitute an affiliated relationship for the purposes of the market depth requirement. PG&E will be seeking to clarify this for both the upcoming SB 1122 tariff for the bioenergy feed-in tariff and the REMAT tariff. Thanks, Wilson.
Thanks, Andrea, for that clarification there. All right. Move on then to question three here. Did you participate in any REMAT webinars? A good majority of you said yes, while a number of you said no. I think I mentioned before we found these to be pretty beneficial to help really clarify a lot of the confusion around the tariff and the PPA. So if to the extent that we feel like it's needed in the future, then we'll continue to do webinars for REMAT. Question four, if you had submitted a question as a registered user on the website, Axion website, was it responded in a timely manner? 14 of you guys said yes, 7 said no, and the 13 had no opinion. And here there were a couple comments that were pointed at PG&E, so I'll let Andrea just kind of quickly touch on this.
Hi, thanks. So we just wanted to comment that some responses may have been delayed if it required further research due to the unique nature of this new program. But we do appreciate the feedback and are working to continually improve our response time in general. Thanks.
All right. So moving on to question number five. So are the amounts of the price adjustments sufficient? So these are the 4, 8, 12 increments that we talked about in one of the earlier slides here. Eight of the respondents said yes. A good majority said no. 2 had no answer, and then 11 had no opinion. So here again, I think there was a common theme that I think 3 respondents mentioned that they wanted the cap, the price adjustment to be capped at $4. So I just wanted to get some thoughts, additional thoughts on the ones that had said no. What price adjustments is sufficient for you guys, and why isn't the current one working for you guys? What is the issue really with the price adjustments here? And again, just to remind everybody, for the suggestions that we're looking to hear back from you guys, please send an email to the respective IOU's FIT email addresses so that we could kind of gather those and discuss internally after the forum here. All right. Moving on to question 6. Is the frequency of the price adjustment mechanism time period bi-monthly sufficient? 12 said yes. 12 said no. And then 10 either had no answer or no opinion. There was a good number of folks that wanted the frequency to be on a monthly basis, that it would allow the market to reach equilibrium quickly. And then the others had mentioned that the bi-monthly period was just a little too long, that it provided added some additional risk to the project development here. Question number 7. Have you submitted a REMAP program participation request? This is our PPR. 14 had said yes, and then 20 had said no. There were some that provided reasoning is that they're waiting for the interconnection process, or some are waiting for SB 1122 to come out. Then there are two additional questions or comments that were posed, that the milestones were occurring too quickly. Just wanted to get more thoughts around what milestones were kind of causing some angst or preventing you from submitting a PPR here. Question number 8, have you participated in a REMAP program period? This is where it really applies only to a subset of folks that that are participating in REMAP, so you'll see a lot of not applicable in these questions and the responses here. So 12 has said yes, 2 has said no, and then 20 has said not applicable. Question 9, were you able to clearly see the available contract price for the applicable program period and product type? So again, these are folks that have either registered on the Axon website or have visited our website to kind of see what the current pricing is for each of the product types. So 13 said yes, 1 has said no, and then 20 has said not applicable. Love to hear more thoughts on the one that has said no to see what was it. Was it just not clearly labeled on the site, or perhaps it was just a little hard to find. So, question 10, were the instructions for how to accept or reject a program period's price for your PPRs clear? 11 had said yes, 1 had said no, and then 22 had said not applicable. Again, for the one that has said no, love to hear more thoughts on maybe the instructions, we can make that clear, or was it just not available, or what? So, okay. Question 11, did you receive confirmation of your final price selection? Here, 12 of you guys had provided yes, and 22 had said no. Again, so these information really apply to those who have actually submitted a PPR, so that's why you see the majority are inapplicable here. Question 12, did you receive notification of the program period's outcome? Here, 7 had said yes, 6 had said no, and then 21 had said not applicable. Some of the comments was SE did not give too much information and is not timely, just as it affected our PPR, and in other words, the information was delayed. So again, as I pointed out earlier, after each program period, we issue a 10-day reporting table, which highlights the PPAs that we have signed for that program period, and also any that have terminated. So that normally gets published 10 days after we close the program period. So just if you like the information is not available, just refer to the website, and that program table should be on there.
Wilson, this is Andrea with PG&E. Regarding a comment about delayed notifications, I just want to explain that PG&E does not notify non-winners until we've executed the winning PPAs, and that's in the event there are last-minute withdrawals that require going down the list to select a replacement winner. But we're going to look into providing tentative interim updates for PPRs that did not make the initial cut to provide more timely information.
And just a couple of follow-ups for us as well. For the comments that we did not give out enough information or it was not timely, again, what information are you looking for? And because it's pretty prescriptive in terms of the table and the amount of information that we provide. So what information are you interested in? We can see if we can provide that. Right. And then lastly, question 13. This was one of the open-ended questions that we had posed to the group. Not going to go through and read through every single comment. But we'll definitely take the comments and feedback back with the other IOUs, and we'll kind of discuss to see what would be the best approach to help improve our program. Again, we'll have these comments and presentation posted to the website so everyone could be able to go through it as well. and Andrea and Leland, I think this brings us to the end of the presentation. Were there anything that you guys wanted to add as well?
Nothing further from PG&E at this time.
Likewise, nothing to add from PG&E.
Great. So again, I just want to remind folks, please, if you have any questions, submit it via email or use the WebEx chat function. We'll put the line on mute to see if there's any comments or questions that have come in through the inbox right now. All right, guys, we're back. So thanks, everyone, for your patience. So we had a couple of questions that were more general in nature around the program. We'll try to answer some of those here. So one was, if an applicant is offered a PPA and they say no, do they have an opportunity to be offered a PPA the next program period? And the answer is yes. Again, there's a lot of kind of general questions around the program and how to participate, and we just want to tell everybody just refer to the tariff and the PPA for each respective IOU's website, and if you have any further questions, then we could try to get those answered for you then. Again, this website and the presentation is going to be put on each IOU's website for everyone to review again. Didn't point this out earlier, but we'll provide folks the opportunity to provide any comments or feedback throughout this week, so don't feel like you're hard-pressed to provide comments now. For next steps, we'll definitely gather all the comments, and we're going to meet with the other IOUs to kind of talk to and figure out what's the next step to really approach and best approach some of these comments to help improve our program here. Andrea, Leland, did you guys get any questions in your inbox?
This is Andrea PG&E. No. I just wanted to clarify just a kind of a subtle difference in language in the tariff regarding being offered a PPA. So technically, if you are granted as a winner of a program period and provided a PPA for execution and you don't execute that within 10 days, then we do have you relinquish your REMAC Q number. But if you simply just accept the price and are not selected as a winner to receive a PPA, you may certainly participate in subsequent program periods.
One final comment, one final note as well. So we'll talk to the team internally. As we mentioned, there has been a lot of general comments around the program. So we'll consider seeing maybe it will be beneficial to have a quick refresher on REMAT as well. Maybe we'll launch another webinar just to provide a high-level summary on what the program is and how to participate in that. Okay, everyone, as mentioned before, I think to the extent that we were able to get to most of the questions, we'll answer those, and those that we aren't able to answer, we'll try to provide it in the FAQ on the website. Again, here are a couple references that we mentioned before. If you have any questions on the REMAT tariff itself and the PPA, just visit each IOU's specific REMAT website. And if you have any additional questions, just feel free to reach out to us. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.